present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask these four clever exponents of the game to try and talk for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. If one of the other three think he's guilty or she is guilty of doing this, they may challenge by pressing a buzzer which they have in their hand. If I agree with the challenge, they will gain a point and take over the subject. If I disagree with the challenge, whoever is speaking will gain a point and keep the subject and continue. That is the way we play, and that's the way we score. And let us begin the show this week with Andre Melle. Andre, the subject is admirable virtues. Can you talk about admirable virtues for 60 seconds, starting now?
The virtue that I think is most admirable is moral courage. That is, if you are a woman and invited to appear on Just a Minute, and you have the guts to stand up to Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
She's sitting down.
She is sitting down, so I will give you a bonus point for a witty challenge, because I know that she was speaking metaphorically of standing up to somebody in a game, and therefore, Andre, you continue with the subject with 47 seconds left. Admirable virtues starting now.
And you dare to insist that you buzzed your buzzer before Clement Ford?
Oh, Derek Nimmo, you've challenged.
Repetition buzzers.
No, she said your buzzer. There was a buzz, the verb, and the buzzer, the noun. So Andre gets a point because I disagree with the challenge and continues with the subject with 43 seconds left. Admirable virtues starting now.
And Derek Nimmo challenges you very unfairly.
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Repetition of Derek Nimmo.
No, she said Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams before, didn't you?
And Derek Nimmo.
You did. Oh, she's honest. That's it. That's very fair. Give her a round of applause for honesty. Modern courage. There, you'll see where the audience sympathies lie the next time there's a tricky decision. Who challenged, by the way? Clement Freud. Clement, you gain a point, and there are 41 seconds left for admirable virtues, starting now.
Modesty compels me to admit that I have these. In particular, I am...
Absolutely dried himself up.
I simply couldn't think
Andre
of a
Melle
single admirable virtue.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Once he tried to think of his own admirable virtues...
I thought it summed up my admirable virtues very well.
Very, very
well. Why you should call it hesitation.
Yes. Well, all right. So, Andre, you gain the subject back. I agree with your challenge. And you have another point, and there are 32 seconds for admirable virtues starting now.
Being a bit rude, I think this is really to be admired. This saves you going to...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Admired.
Admired?
When did she say... The moral courage. With the moral courage.
Yes, she did talk about the virtue that she admires most is moral courage right at the beginning. You're quite right, Derek. Well, listen, you gain a point, and you have 27 seconds for admirable virtues starting now.
If I have a fault, which I haven't, it would be modesty. But in fact, I am extraordinarily virtuous. Do you know, I get up every morning, rising from my knees because I've been at prayer through the long night hours, wash my hands because cleanliness is next to godliness, and then I set off on my task through the day, patting small children on the head, talking to little dogs as they walk along the street, giving them the occasional bone, perhaps a biscuit if they look hungry, taking tramps home.
That touching and moving, and I'm surely totally incorrect description of yourself, gains you not only 1 point for the subject, but another bonus point because you were speaking when the whistle went, Derek, and you now are the leader. Kenneth Williams, it is your turn to begin, and I'm delighted we're going to hear from you.
Yeah, so now I've been waiting for hours.
And I think Ian Messett has thought up a subject specially for you. It's sex appeal. You've gone a bit cold.
No, I'm fine.
Oh, good, good. I'm sure you can go magnificently on this subject. Just think about yourself, Kenneth, and talk for 60 seconds on sex appeal starting now.
Well, this is almost impossible to define because it depends largely on your proclivities. What you find exciting in the way of sex. I think the best way is to define by example, i.e. I have sex appeal. Friends have said to me after a long acquaintanceship, it was as much as I could do to keep my hands off you. All you in the room, you really get me throbbing. No. And of course, with my repeated performances, both on the stage and off the stage, I have had...
Andre Melly's challenge.
Yes, she would have. So he plays the game to score. That's what she does.
What do you play for, Kenneth?
No, I play to entertain. I'm interested in scoring. No, I'll give it all the points. I'll give them away. I'm not bothered.
No. Well, anyway, Andre challenge. Andre.
Well, it was repeated performances. So it was repetition.
No.
On and off the
he
stage.
Wasn't. He repeated the word stage, but not the word performance.
Repeated performances on and off the stage.
It's a sort of...
Yes, but repeated performances is not being repetitious. The word stage was repetitious. You said repeated performances. He didn't repeat that word.
Repeated.
Yes, but that's a phrase. It's not repeating the word, which is the way we play the game.
Oh, well,
he repeated the word stage twice, and that would be repetition. So, Kenneth, you have a point, and you keep the subject. And there are 20 seconds left for sex appeal starting now.
Throughout the age.
Clement Freud, you've challenged.
He's not playing it for points. I am.
And all that happens is you've given a point to Kenneth Williams.
Oh.
They're just such a great mouth. Go on.
Kenneth keeps the subject, and there are 18 seconds left for sex appeal starting now.
Many people have associated this with the hirsute, and they've said, if you're airy, you've got it. People will come after you. And the same thing, of course, does apply with Samson and Delilah, because she is reputed to have cut it off with the idea...
Well, you talking about Samson there. What a strength there. You started with the subject and you finished with the subject. That was strength, it was sex appeal, it was panache, it was success. Derek Nemo, your turn to begin. The subject is staying happy. Can you tell us about staying happy in just 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, of course, that was the part I first played when I was in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And ever since then, I've wanted to perform in exactly the same role because staying happy seems to me to be the most pleasant part in that particular show. If we were going to cast it here this afternoon, for instance, of course, the lovely lady here on my right would play the lady who was named after the snowflake. What?
Kenneth Williams, you've challenged.
The lovely lady on my right would play the lady. Two ladies.
Yes, there were two ladies. You're quite right, Kenneth. Yes, well done. So I agree with your challenge. You're going to point, and there are 40 seconds for staying happy, Kenneth, starting now.
The only way anyone can stay happy is, of course, to commit abnegation apropos self. This has long been realised to be the cure. What do you mean? Why are you all looking at me for that? Why are you all looking at me? How can one go on? It's not
I'll
even
tell fit. You why we were all looking, because of your wonderful phrase... Abnegation apropos self.
I don't think
any literary crank would have written such a phrase in a book, and you spoke it with great style.
Well, you've got to keep going, haven't you? I think it's
utterly unfair. It was utterly unfair. It was beautifully done, and we loved it. And you're going to keep going. I'm going to ignore the challenge. I know what it was. And you have 27 seconds to continue with staying happy, Kenneth, starting now.
Unhappiness is most of the time born of selfishness and the regard for one's own person. We should be continually thinking of others. How can I submerge my own trouble in the problem of some other person?
Derek Nimmer, you challenge.
The definition of person.
Yes, there was. There was a hell of an hesitation as well.
That's a sort of...
So, anyway, well tried. They enjoyed the little homily, I'm sure. So, Derek got you that time. I agree with the challenge. Derek, you gain a point. You take over the subject, staying happy. 4 seconds left, starting now.
Mushrooming makes me more happy than anything else in the hell.
And, Kentfield, why have you challenged?
It was completely indecipherable. One
I know. What was it? Mushrooms?
Mushrooming makes me more... I was going
oh,
to...
Oh, he was absolutely right. It was mushrooms.
Yes.
Well, I couldn't understand a word of it.
Well, I can't understand a word.
So why do you challenge, Kenneth? Challenge, why do you challenge?
Oh, deviation.
Because you couldn't understand. Yes. I'm afraid you can't do that. You can't do that. Derek has a point, and there are 2 seconds left for staying happy starting now.
When one goes out on the golf links to pick up... in...
So Derek was speaking, but only just then when the whistle went, and he's now crept into the lead at the end of that round. And Andre, your turn to begin. Witchcraft. Can you talk to us about witchcraft for 60 seconds, starting now?
If you are a witch and you want something nasty to happen to people, you have to think up a little rhyme like, may Ken and Clem refuse to speak and Nicholas Parsons fall asleep. And Derek Nimmo.
Derek Nimmo, you've challenged by.
Hesitation.
Yes, but, oh, it was so lovely, wasn't it? How did it go on? Have you got it all worked out or not?
Derek no. Stammer, be infinite, and then I'll win this just a minute.
Oh, that's good. Oh, yes, you see, she paused, Derek, because she was building to something. But anyway, it was a legitimate challenge, and you gain a point. 31 seconds left, Derek Nimmo, for witchcraft, starting now.
If you're indulging in witchcraft, you should form yourself rapidly into a coven. That means 13 people, 12 of whom are the group, the main body of the assembly.
Andre Melle, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation. I agree, you get the subject back, and you have a point, of course. 21 seconds for witchcraft, Andre, starting now.
Vampires are a very important part of this particular subject. I was once a bride of Dracula, so I know quite a lot about it. You have to have a pair of fangs which are fitted onto your eye teeth, a coffin. You're particularly frightened of the cross.
Clement Freud, why have you
challenged? Hesitation. Of the cross. Yes, it was definitely there.
No. I'm got the audience. Do you think she hesitated?
No.
Oh, it's no good asking them. Look at them all laughing.
Well, when it is so doubtful.
Killing them all. No, when it is. Back row, the sawdust pouring out of one of them up there. BBC just put these dummies in. They prop them up in the back row.
No, I disagree. Andre has another point, and there are 4 seconds left for witchcraft, Andre, starting now.
If holy water's thrown in your face, your whole visage disintegrates into...
Andre Melle was speaking then with the whistle went, so she gains an extra point, and she's creeping up a little. Clement, will you begin the next round, please? Filibustering. Can you talk to us about filibustering? For just a minute, starting now.
Filibustering is a political maneuver whereby one man talks for so long that having read the small print and being unable to be interrupted, he has the floor and speaks until such time as the close of whatever he is indulging.
Andre Melle, challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. So he was trying to filibuster there, but unsuccessfully, so Andre gains a point and takes over the subject. 42 seconds left, starting now.
This is something I believe that senators of the South...
Kenneth Williams got hesitation. His first hesitation. Kenneth, you gain a point and take over the subject of filibustering. 37 seconds left, starting now.
One of the most famous occasions was in the 19th century in our own House of Commons when the Prime Minister, who was called Disraeli...
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a slight hesitation. He was searching for his name.
I wasn't searching for his name. What are you talking about? It's about what he said. Overcome by the exuberance of his own verbosity. It's what Disraeli said. I knew exactly what I was going to say. Can't call that hesitation. She said an and you didn't even allow it. And you allowed this lot here who were half asleep to say that she was hesitating. I've hardly got a word in on this programme anyway. I've hardly spoken. First 5 minutes, I'm not even on.
I'm so upset now, Kenneth, I don't know what to do. You've struck... I'll ask the audience. He's had such an effect on me, I'm going to let you be the... I must say that I definitely thought there was a hesitation there. And I must say, I'm on... I want it all together, because I definitely think there was a hesitation, but let you be the final judges. If you think there was a hesitation, will you cheer? If you don't think there was a hesitation, will you boo? And will you all do it together now? Boo! You don't think there was a hesitation. The boos came through the tears that he created in your eyes. Kenneth, on your side, you have another point, and you have 24 seconds left for filibustering starting now.
One is reminded of that great liberal statesman, Gladstone, when he said, "I care as much for the spiritual welfare of the people on the slopes."
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Well, he wasn't filibustering. He was just making a speech.
Ah, but you might...
Filibustering is to talk unnecessarily and prolong your speech for a long period.
Yes, no, but I don't think you can...
There were several interruptions during it.
Yes, and I do think...
You don't allow any interruptions.
There were probably some political people of the time who said that when Gladstone was speaking that particular speech, he was what we now call filibustering. Have I made my point?
Yes. Good.
Kenneth Williams has a point, and he has 10 seconds to continue with filibustering starting now.
The thing to do is to make a point, and then so ornament it...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Repetition of point.
Yes, he has said point before. Derek Nimmo gains it, and he has 4 seconds to continue with filibustering starting now.
It's from the French word filibuster, which means freebooter.
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
It isn't. Deviation.
Filibuster. It's a French word meaning freebooter. It was a boat that was sent out to fight as a freelance against other countries who weren't your own country's enemies.
Extremely interesting, Derek. You have another point and 2 seconds to continue with filibustering starting now.
One of the most famous of filibusters in our time.
At the end of that round, Derek Nimmo has a very definite lead over everybody else. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? In fact, it's your turn to begin the next round, and the subject is Nell Gwynn. Can you tell us something about the lovely lady in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, when the dreadful thing of regicide occurred, and we had the Great Rebellion, the king came back and, of course, was called...
Derek Nimmo, why have you challenged?
Repetition, because if there'd been regicide, he couldn't have come back. He was dead.
I said we had the dreadful regicide, and then the great rebellion.
Back.
Then the great rebellion.
He was talking about regicide.
The king is dead,
and
long
rebellion.
Live the king. I mean, this.
And the king came back. Right. No, I disagree with the challenge. Kenneth has a point, and there are 50 seconds left for Nell Gwynn, Kenneth, starting now.
Charles II, who was married to Catherine of Braganza, didn't seem to have seen very much of her, and she lived apart from the court. He took this mistress who was called Nell Gwynn, and sometimes Sweet Nell of Old Drury, comical actress, and she sold oranges. Anyway, she did bear him these 2 children. What Catherine of Braganza thought of all this, nobody seems to know.
Clement Freud, you challenge.
Repetition.
Yes, yes.
Oh, but she's on the card.
No, Catherine of Braganza's not on the card. Catherine of Braganza's not on the card.
She was on the cards for him. It was on the cards he should have.
If you'd said that as a challenge, I'd have given you a point for wit. But all that happens is that Clement Freud gets a point, and he takes over the subject of Nell Gwynn with 23 seconds left, starting now.
One now thinks rather lovingly about characters like Nell Gwynn.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Because deviation, we don't think lovingly about Nell Gwynn at all.
Why not?
It's rubbish.
Why not, Ken?
Rubbish, wasn't it?
Why shouldn't you think lovingly?
Because he's a prude.
Because she was a dirty person.
He's a prude.
That's right. People that sleep with people, other men's wives,
yes.
And kids by
yes.
Them. It's a disgrace. Thoroughly immoral and disgraceful. And usher in a pleasure-loving reign such as would disgrace any country. Disgrace.
Yes, but even people who you can... Stop being so pompous in your decision, your opinions. But even some people you think are rather immoral or you disapprove of, often in retrospect look back rather lovingly, you know. And I therefore disagree with what you said and agree with the fact that Clement Freud has a point because he was speaking then, and he continues with Nell Gwynn, and there are 18 seconds left starting now.
And yet if you think about life in the 17th century with no personal hygiene, with no...
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Deviation. Life in the 17th century and no personal hygiene is nothing to do with the subject, which is Nell Gwynn.
Well, after what you just said, I would say it's an awful lot to do with the subject.
It's having kids by other people's husbands is nothing to do with personal
you
hygiene.
You use the word.
It's been
You'd
going
never
on
have
generation
it.
After generation.
You'd never have kids if you had
Why don't you shut up? He's the chairman.
Kenneth, why don't you shut up? I'm the chairman.
Oh, sorry.
No, I think, after what you said, personal hygiene does come into this. You omitted us. I write the word you say about it being a dirty person. That was your very first word.
I meant immoral, dear, not filthy person.
Well, all right, you used the word dirty. Therefore, I disagree with your challenge. Clement Freud has another point, and there are 12 seconds left for Nell Gwynn, Clement, starting now.
Nell Gwynn, in a nutshell, was dirty.
Kenneth Gwynn, why the challenge?
Well, I mean, it's deviation. She could never have been inside a nutshell. Oh, let's get dirty in it.
All right, he gets this time. He gets the bonus point for wit. But Clement Freud keeps the subject as he wasn't actually deviating from the subject on the card, and he continues with 9 seconds left for Nell Gwynn starting now.
She was even improper outside such an encasement. She would not have brushed her teeth, seldom have changed her underwear.
Well, I'm glad those two on that side of the stage got off Nell Gwynn before we got really into rather embarrassing waters. Well, at the end of that round, Clement Freud was speaking when the whistle went, so he gains an extra point. It's very interesting now because Kenneth has crept up dramatically. He's in third place, behind the joint leaders at the present moment.
Third place? Big deal.
Right, Derek Nomer, your turn to begin. Coup de grâce. Can you talk about that subject before 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I was standing in Sefton Park in Liverpool, you see, and this fellow came up to me and he said, what are you standing there for? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I don't know, really. And he said, why? I can't see your head at all because all the stuff's growing up all round about you. Why don't you cut the grass? And I said, I will in a few minutes. But actually, if you go to a bull ring in Spain, when the matador delivers his final blow, he has a special sword, which is so constructed with a little hook over the top of it, and as he pulls it into the bull's neck, it severs the...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Repetition of bull.
Yes, that is perfectly right. I'm glad you challenged before we got any further into the bull's neck. It was, Clement, I agree with your challenge. You take over the subject. There are 34 seconds left for a coup de grâce, starting now.
This was delivered upon the premises of Mrs. Hebblewhite, landlady of 82 Blackpool Road, Morecambe Bay, Lancashire, by a villainous tenant who set fire to a mattress in the basement. As a result, the fire engines were called out.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Engines of fire.
Well, no, he said fire and fire engines.
Yes, well, I said bull and bull ring, so I mean...
Same thing.
A fire engine is...
So it's bull and bull.
Oh, that's right, yes, I thought fire engines were hyphenated. Well, you're quite right, there are two fires. That's right, because it's two words, isn't it? Therefore, I agree, Kenneth, you gain a point. And there are 16 seconds left for a coup de grâce starting now.
Well, roughly speaking, of course, it means the final.
Clement Freud's challenge, why?
Deviation.
Why?
Roughly speaking.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep to a subject.
Yes, but he can speak roughly without deviating from the subject, and he can keep going.
He's been saying...
Very good, Chairman. You're very good, Chairman. Very good.
I'm always good when I'm giving the point
no,
to everybody.
No, I wouldn't want your job. I really wouldn't. I find it difficult. I would find it difficult.
Anyway, Kenneth, you have another point, and you have 14 seconds left for a coup de grâce, starting now.
The blow, so to speak, which settles the entire controversy and results in the adversary being vanquished.
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Bad word.
Adversary. Yes.
Adversary, I said.
Yes. Well, it sounded slightly different. We knew what you were saying, and you were keeping going under very difficult circumstances.
Thank you. You're a very good chairman.
You know there aren't many seconds left. You know it's very neck and neck. So you have another point with 3 seconds left, Kenneth, for a coup de grâce starting now.
And if you can so encapsulate your point...
Well...
Am I in the lead now?
Let me tell them something, because that is the end of the show. I got a note here
which says
wind up at the end of this subject.
No, that's pronounced wind.
I know. Oh. I thought I'd make a little joke. So I'm going to wind up now and tell you that I'm afraid that is all we have time for, and what, as Kenneth encapsulated his final point, he gave a very dramatic and sudden twist to the game. He was trailing in fourth place nearly all the way along. But now in fourth place, alas, is André Melle. And in third place is Derek Nimmo. And in first place, joint equals, Kenneth jumped into the lead alongside Clement Freud. And those are our two winners this week, Kenneth and Clement. And
And they both won by one encapsulated point only. That is all we have time for. We do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. And from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.